The NJOHSP Analysis Bureau creates strategic intelligence products regarding a variety of terrorist and extremist groups. In today's episode of Intelligence Unclassified, we will discuss three potential future scenarios for both ISIS and Al-Qaeda.
This is Director Jared Maples of the New Jersey Office of Homeland Security and Preparedness. Welcome back to Intelligence Unclassified, a podcast about counterterrorism, cybersecurity, and emergency preparedness. Join us as we talk to local and national experts in these fields to discuss New Jersey's diverse threat landscape and offer you a unique perspective on current trends and issues facing our great state. If this is your first time listening, then thanks for coming. Please feel free to add this podcast to your RSS feed, iTunes, or Google Play. You can also follow NJOHSP on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at NJOHSP. All links can be found in the show notes and on our website, www.njohsp.gov.
Hello, welcome to today's episode of Intelligence Unclassified. I'm Dylan, and I'm joined by my two colleagues, Alyssa and Chris. And today we're going to talk about two products that NJOHSP recently produced, one identifying future scenarios for ISIS and the other future scenarios for Al-Qaeda. So to begin, Alyssa, what was the process that you went through to put the Al-Qaeda piece together?
First of all, we looked at Al-Qaeda, the Al-Qaeda network as a whole, and what has been going on with them in the past few years. So what we did was we broke it down into indicators and outcomes to see what would be the most likely or least likely outcome as a result of the indicators. We also looked at some key assumptions and some wild card variables, as we don't really know what these groups or what direction they're going to take because the situation is so fluid. As with ISIS, you know, things can change very quickly if the U.S. decides that they're going to step up strikes on them, and we've seen that in the past couple years. One of the things we looked at for an indicator is, for example, if Al-Qaeda is unable to inspire HVEs or recruit valuable operatives. So then one of the outcomes of that would be emirs losing faith with leadership, and there may be some infighting that's created among the affiliates. So that's what we're looking at. And you can, you know, look at all of this and see all of this in the product that's available on our website. Just one other quick indicator that's relevant right now is Hamza bin Laden. One of our indicators was a revival of Al-Qaeda, and that had to do with Hamza bin Laden, the son of Osama bin Laden. One of the indicators that we assumed he was going to take a leadership role, inspiring new members, affiliates, and HVEs. Now, as we know, in the past couple of weeks, there's been rumors that Hamza bin Laden was killed, but there's been no definitive statement from the United States that he has been killed. So that's something that we would have to take out of the scenario, but it doesn't mean that it wasn't possible at the time the product was written.
So, Alyssa, you mentioned a few of the indicators and outcomes that are featured in this product. Chris, could you walk us through the three outcomes that you determined and the indicators that we might see that could point to those outcomes?
So the three outcomes we had established or created when we were looking at future potential scenarios were, one, whether Al-Qaeda would decline and whether the emirs would lose faith with leaderships, creating infighting among affiliates. We also looked at whether the group itself would revive. And in this case, the outcome would be recruitment among their supporters and violent extremists would increase, and it would also result in an increase in more global attacks worldwide.
So that would be the revival outcome?
That's correct. Like an increase or an increase of threat of the group here in the United States.
Okay. So what are some of the indicators that would point to an Al-Qaeda revival?
So we had looked at three. I think Alyssa had just mentioned Hamza. So again, it's unconfirmed whether he was killed. But the other two indicators we had looked at is whether sophisticated tactics are going to be utilized in future attacks, which can include either drones or coordinated attacks. And the second indicator was whether operational mobility would increase in Afghanistan. We've seen in the past that AQ Corps, Al-Qaeda, utilized Pakistan and Afghanistan, as well as the federally administered tribal areas in Pakistan as a base of operations. There's a lot of activity in Afghanistan as to the United States activity if we're going to be removing troops, which can lead to more mobility for the group to increase their presence, tactics, and allow them to increase their support among its membership.
So, Chris, you just talked about the outcome of Al-Qaeda having sort of a revival, and I see that in the product, it looks like it's more of a spectrum. So if you have revival on the one end and you had a decline on the other end, what would be the possible outcome in the middle?
So when we're looking at those two outcomes, if you're speaking about the middle, that's more so about the status quo as to what we're seeing currently, which can either, again, increase or it can result in a decline in the near future. So when looking at the status quo, again, the outcome or what we're seeing now is recruitment and plotting lags, and it's also requiring a reliance on affiliates to conduct majority of their tax overseas by their affiliates within their own territory. So again, when we're looking at that kind of outcome or the current status quo, some of the indicators that we see, the current events include Zawahiri remaining a spiritual advisor to global supporters and releasing sporadic, uninspirational videos. We're also seeing leadership continue to exploit regional conflicts and also past successes being recycled in their propaganda to project strength and counteract irrelevancy.
So again, Chris, that was the status quo, and you also told us some indicators that we would see if Al-Qaeda was going to make sort of a revival. What type of indicators would we look for if we thought Al-Qaeda was going to enter into a decline from where they actually are currently?
When we're looking at a decline by Al-Qaeda, and that again looks at the outcome where emirs lose faith with the leadership and also creates infighting among affiliates. Some of these indicators can include Al-Qaeda is unable to inspire HVEs here in the United States and in Western countries or recruit valuable operatives. We could also see supporters remain unresponsive to propaganda and messaging, as well as affiliates failing to make significant gains to topple foreign governments.
Thank you, Chris. With those three outcomes that you guys were able to determine, Alyssa, what are we sort of seeing from Al-Qaeda in the short term?
So right now we're just seeing, as Chris mentioned, the status quo. So we're seeing Zawahiri put out messages to followers just so there's a forward-facing, you know, leader of the group that people are seeing. Although AQAP hasn't put out Inspire magazine in 2 years. Al-Qaeda Corps has decided to put out a magazine just this past April, and also one was released this month. And those magazines are propaganda. The U.S. is mentioned in them. So they're obviously looking at our political climate in the United States and how we're interacting in the rest of the world. But those publications are only in Arabic, so we haven't seen too much in the English language propaganda sector lately.
So like Alyssa said, since AQAP has been relatively quiet, Chris, what have we seen from the other Al-Qaeda affiliates throughout the world?
So Dylan, when we're looking at the other affiliates, there's been several mergers in these regions that we've been looking at. So again, in March of 2017, Al-Qaeda and Islamic Maghreb merged with several forces to form Jamaat Nasra al-Islam. And additionally, Haras al-Din became Al-Qaeda's Syrian affiliate, led by Abu Mam al-Shami, following several mergers in 2018. And again, these affiliates have merged with several of these regional extremists to fulfill al-Zawahiri's call to unite Muslims, attack regional enemies, and also offset counterterrorism operations.
As far as the other affiliates go, so we're still seeing a lot of action from Al-Shabaab in Somalia and, you know, some of the other groups that Chris mentioned, AQIM and AQIS, as well as the Syrian affiliate, which has kind of emerged in the past year or so. So we do see reliance on the affiliates to keep the group's message going. So now that we've discussed Al-Qaeda, we're going to shift gears and move on over to Dylan for his piece on ISIS and their potential scenarios.
So with the ISIS potential scenarios product, the way that we determined the three outcomes, it was less of a spectrum than it was with the Al-Qaeda piece. It was more of three separate outcomes that are plausible, but less of a decline and a revitalization. It was more of three possible outcomes that we could see coming from ISIS in the next couple of years. So the first one that I'll talk about is, of course, we had the status quo. So similar to Al-Qaeda, you know, the group is going to kind of just remain the same. The outcome that we established, if they were going to remain the status quo, was that ISIS affiliates would act autonomously while still pledging allegiance to Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi and conducting operations on behalf of the group. So that would be sort of like what we're seeing currently, right? We're seeing ISIS affiliates that are sort of acting on their own. They're producing their own propaganda, but they're still pledging allegiance to the group's leader and the idea as a whole. Some of the indicators that we established that we would look out for if we were going to see that outcome, we would look for ISIS retaining a leadership role over the affiliates while more regional groups pledge their allegiance. So while we see more ISIS affiliates popping up in different parts of the world that there weren't previously operating in. Another indicator would be that the affiliates remain committed to producing regionally focused propaganda while ISIS core acknowledges the global successes. So that's kind of what we've been seeing ISIS do, right? We see each ISIS affiliate kind of producing their own videos, their own products, talking about what their affiliate is up to, while the core group itself, like the Amaq announcements, are sort of just claiming responsibility for these global incidents. And then the last indicator that we would see is that ISIS core continues to produce propaganda to inspire homegrown violent extremists to conduct attacks. So, of course, we know that ISIS is still interested in inspiring Westerners to conduct attacks on behalf of the group. The second outcome that we determined was we looked at the possibility of ISIS establishing an African caliphate. So recently we've seen a lot of activity from ISIS affiliates throughout Africa. As Africa's become sort of a hotspot for these extremist groups, we looked at the possibility of ISIS establishing a caliphate-like structure with command and control capabilities in the Sahel region, leveraging historical trade routes and exploiting weak governments. So sort of what they established in Syria, having sort of a pseudo caliphate in Africa. And some of the indicators that we identified would possibly point to that type of outcome is that the ISIS affiliates expand their operations in Northwest Africa and target cities where it had no presence previously. So we know that ISIS is active currently in a variety of African countries to include Libya, Tunisia, the Sinai, Nigeria, Niger, Mali, Burkina Faso, Cameroon, the Democratic Republic of Congo, and Mozambique. So ISIS is very active in Africa currently, so we might see the affiliates continuing to expand their operations there. Another indicator that we looked at was the possibility of ISIS affiliates overrunning African military bases, which would give them that command and control capability and free movement throughout the region. So they would have locations to where they could continue to stage operations from. And then the last indicator that we thought would point towards sort of an African caliphate would be propaganda calling for foreign fighters to join the affiliates in Northwest Africa to boost their numbers and their presence. So, you know, like we saw when ISIS was first establishing their caliphate in Syria and Iraq, we saw propaganda that was calling for supporters to travel there and to join the group and join the fight. So we thought that maybe if we saw an indicator of similar propaganda, but more pointed towards a call for an African sort of conquest, that would point towards the possibility that they would be looking to establish that sort of similar caliphate. And then the last possible scenario that we looked at was ISIS becoming more of an abstract concept. So this was sort of our outlier as a scenario. It was something a little bit different. The outcome that we found would be that ISIS could possibly dissolve from a physical group and just become an abstract motivational concept. So where ISIS would no longer be this international organization, it would be more of an idea that supporters and homegrown violent extremists alike would use as a motivator, which they currently are, but there would be no physical caliphate or organization that actually operates overseas. Some of the indicators that we looked at that could point to that happening would be ISIS core and its affiliates becoming obliterated, allowing Al-Qaeda to gain dominance over the global jihadist movement. So we talked about those three potential Al-Qaeda outcomes. Well, if those were happening and ISIS sort of was destroyed completely with no more leadership and no more actual operational capability, we could see it evolve into more of this abstract concept, sort of what we saw with Anwar al-Awlaki when he was killed. We look at a lot of homegrown violent extremists who have cited him as inspiration, even though the guy is no longer alive. We could sort of see something similar with the ISIS brand. Another indicator that would point to that is that ISIS ceases global operations and just starts focusing on propaganda that encourages Western attacks. So instead of ISIS producing videos and messages claiming attacks in their various affiliates, maybe we would see them only calling for attacks in the West. So no more operations in war-torn countries or places that they have operational capabilities, but only conducting attacks in the West. And then lastly, we would see another indicator for that is that USHVs continue citing ISIS as their inspiration, despite the group's continued operational failure. So again, that goes back to the same kind of concept that we saw with Anwar al-Awlaki once he was killed and how people still continue to cite even though he's not around.
Thanks, Dylan. So is there any new messaging out from ISIS, from leadership, any messaging to its supporters, telling them what they should do now that the caliphate has basically collapsed?
Yeah, so a lot of the ISIS messaging has remained consistent. A majority of their official propaganda, like I said, has been them just claiming various operations from their affiliates and, of course, putting out the usual inspiration to try to get Westerners to conduct attacks. But something that came out in June that I actually found pretty interesting, I'm not sure if ISIS has done this before, but I think it was the first time that I was really aware of it, is that in official ISIS propaganda, they actually published guidance for supporters to stop seeking financial and material assistance with attacks. So they actually told their supporters to sort of go dark and stop reaching out to people online, stop trying to post ISIS propaganda, stop trying to ask for help with attacks because of law enforcement. So they're actually encouraging their supporters to just remain silent and go out there and just conduct attacks. And what they actually say is just use weapons that are available to them. They don't want people requesting assistance anymore. They don't want their supporters asking for help with building IEDs, things like that, because they want their supporters to remain sort of anonymous at this point. And I think that that's really indicative of where ISIS is headed, right? As we see them declining overseas, you know, we see their supporters constantly getting arrested, and we haven't really had many HVE attacks recently. It seems that they're sort of now trying to shift their tactics around so that they could try to be a little bit more successful. Well, thank you, Alyssa and Chris, for joining us on today's episode of Intelligence Unclassified, where we talked about ISIS and Al-Qaeda and three potential future scenarios for both groups that we could see in the near future. You can find those two products on our website at njohsp.gov. And please feel free to subscribe to our podcast. Thank you very much for joining us today, and we look forward to seeing you next episode. Intelligence Unclassified signing out.
All links can be found in the show notes and on our website at www.njohsp.gov. If you have any ideas or topics for future episodes, please contact us on Twitter at NJOHSP or email us at intelunclass@njohsp.gov. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to subscribe to Intelligence Unclassified.